Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Melody Crowe. Each week we visit with a local author, get an introduction to their work and a glimpse into their lives. We find out what prompts them to write and give them an opportunity to read from their work. This week we're delighted to have as our guest Melody Crowe. Bonjour and welcome, Melody.
Bonjour.
Melody Crowe is a proud member of Aldeville First Nation and has lived in that community all her life. She studied at Trent University, earning not only her Honours BA in Native Studies, but also winning a number of awards, including the Joyce Munias and the K.E. Kid Awards from the university. In 2007, she received a Lifetime Achievement Award for the Preservation of Language and Culture from the Union of Ontario Indians. She has worked tirelessly for the preservation of Ojibwe culture and language for more than 22 years, and is currently First Nation Education Liaison for Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board. She also acts as a juror for awards in honour of Ontario's first Native Lieutenant Governor, James Bartleman, 2002 to 2007. The James Bartleman Aboriginal Youth Creative Writing Awards are given each year as a legacy to his efforts to promote literacy among Aboriginal youth. Through her company, Andeg Productions, she has produced a variety of materials dedicated to creating a deeper understanding and appreciation of First Nation culture, knowledge, language, and wisdom. So, Melody, you've published four books for young children learning Ojibwe, Baby's Favorite Foods, a counting book, and two more about animals and birds, as well as one which is part of the language kit you developed for your entire community in 2012. How important is the written word to your teaching of the language?
I believe the written word is incredibly important. And historically, our language was an oral language, and it was passed on in that way. But I've come to believe throughout the years the importance of writing and recording our language so that we can really ensure that that language is passed on. So for me, I've started to create these books, which have been inspired by my nephews, Dominic and Sonny. But we are taught in our culture to believe in thinking seven generations ahead. And so that written word is so important so that throughout those generations that there's something for those generations to preserve that language. So my concern is by just leaving it as an oral language that over time, when we have elders within our First Nation communities, fluent-speaking elders, who pass away, when you think about the knowledge and the language that goes with them. So to me, it's incredibly important to have that written word.
Yes, I can see that. And I love that idea that we have to think for seven generations ahead. We should all do that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So what about the general preservation of the language? Ojibwe is the third most common Indigenous language, isn't it? And what proportion of people use it every day? What do you think are the most crucial steps in restoring and expanding its use?
The proportion that use it every day varies, and again, depending on the community, where they're located, how many fluent speakers they may have, that kind of thing is a part of what proportion would be used. One of the biggest impacts on our language was the detriment of the residential school era.
Yes.
And that lasted for over 100 years in our country of Canada. And that resulted in generations of First Nations people not having the opportunity to speak their ancestral languages. And so because of that ripple effect from the residential schools, there's many communities that have a small proportion of people who use that language on a daily basis. Mm. And I'm just one of many people who have been working really hard to, you know, create resources, to be teaching classes, to be doing that work of keeping that language revived and preserved.
Yes, so can I ask a supplementary question?
Yes.
When children go to school, can they choose to be taught in Ojibwe some schools?
Yes, absolutely. In the Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board, we have three elementary schools that are connected as well through the Curve Lake First Nation, Hiawatha, and Alderville. So the elementary schools that students attend through KPR can have Ojibwe instead of French. And there are some high schools within the school board as well where they can take Ojibwe language, which is a huge help. You know, it's nice that also in our First Nation communities we have daycares where language and culture is strong in those daycares, so the younger children are getting it before even heading to school.
And yes, a kind of immersion in it.
Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there's also something new that's been the last 1 or 2 years, I think it is, through KPR again, for people in Peterborough in the urban center, that a program is running in the evening there for KPR students who may not be able to get it during the day in school. So there, that's something new as well. Yeah. And then in my community, I've been teaching every fall through to the spring, and that continues on, and that helps with the adults. And finally, it's very much an honor, because sometimes I have elders who come to that class, you know, who haven't had that language. I always say they're relearning the language, because I believe that language is within us.
Yes.
And just having that opportunity to relearn.
Yes. That's really exciting, actually, all that.
Yeah.
What do you think are the most crucial steps in restoring and expanding the use of Ojibwe?
One of the crucial steps, I believe, is the continuation of those programs in the schools with the language programs as well as within communities. But I always encourage people who do have some knowing of the language, even if it's just a handful of words. I really believe in the importance of encouraging people to use that language and feel proud of that. Some people feel really shy if they don't have the language, or some people, there are First Nations people who, you know, carry a certain sense of shame that they're not fluent speakers.
Yes.
And that's not their fault. And so for me, I'm one of the roles I feel I've taken on is to encourage that use of language. Even if it's just a handful of words or a few sentences, that keeps that language going and passing that on and regaining that sense of pride for that language. So
yes.
Yeah, that's really important. Through Ondaig Productions, well, I'm going to continue creating resources that could be utilized by all ages. You know, and hopefully I'm planning on making some resources that teachers could also utilize as well.
Tell us a little more about the language kit you developed for your community. Are you going to expand your work teaching a whole community and maybe people outside your own community?
Yes. The language kit was an exciting project. I was very, very humbled to take that project on, and I incorporated film by filming community members. The kit comes with a booklet, an audio CD, and a double disc DVD, which is the learning DVD. I asked over 100 community members to take part, where I would film them, having them say some of the language. Some shared why the language and culture is important to them. I was able to put all of that together into this learning kit. That it was an initiative, really, to give a resource to the community that would be a really good starting point to get that language into the homes within our community. And the pride that went along with that was something that was really humbling for me. When I would film folks who maybe hadn't said anything in the language before, and it gave opportunity for many people to take part, you know, like, because I was making it as a learning DVD, I wanted it to be some of the faces from our community being the people who were saying those words and sentences and such.
Right. So have you developed a second kit to take the language teaching further? Now that you've done that one, do you...
Yes, in my plans, I do hope to do more of that kind of those kind of resources. That language kit is for the band members of Alderville on and off the reserve, so it's more really just for use within the community. So through my work, I want to create audio CDs and learning resources that could be utilized by anybody who's interested in Ojibwe as a you know, a language they might be wanting to learn.
Yes. I wonder whether you could teach Gwyn and me to speak a few sentences using the methods you developed in the language.
Absolutely, that would be fun. I thought first I would like to teach you how to introduce yourself. So I'm going to teach you the word Indigenous, and that, because when I would say Melody Crow Indigenous, so you could try that word Indigenous.
What's the sound at the end?
It's like a Z. Indigenous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Indigenous.
Good.
Okay. Felicity Sidnall Reed, Indigenous.
Good. Very good.
Gwyn Shelton Moranderson, Indigenous.
Great. Okay. And then Alderville First Nation, Ndunjaba. So the word would be Ndunjaba, means where I'm from.
Alderville.
Yeah, but you're not from Alderville.
No. No.
Coburg.
Yes, true. Colborne, in Dunjaba.
Perfect.
Trent River, in Dunjaba.
Very nice. Very well done. And then a word saying it's going to be a good day. We Menogishkad. We Menogishkad.
We Menogishkad.
We Menogishkad.
Very nice. That means it's going to be a good day. And my life is good. Namino Bimardis.
Namino Bimardis.
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 Yes.
Oh.
Namino.
Namino.
Bimardis.
Bimardis.
Very good.
I find it hard without seeing the word written down.
Yes. And one of the things within our language that's so lovely, because the language is like a worldview, like it's the way that our ancestors, the way that our Anishinaabe people view the world. And so there's translations that can't even be made from, you know, Ojibwe to English or English to Ojibwe. Some examples of that, and you can say the word if you'd like to as well, Wapona is a word for butterfly. But that, what that really means is that one that lands softly. So would you like to say Wapona?
Wapone.
Yeah.
Wapone.
Very nice. Nijodeyog is the word for twins. So, you know, when you think about twins, but what that translates to is two hearts. So Nijodeyog.
Nijodeyog.
Nice. Yeah.
Yes, what a lovely pictorial kind of language it is.
It's lovely. And I like that because it's like, that's why the preservation is so important, because when it captures that, the way of looking at the world.
Yes.
You know, and the way, and that thought, and that, and values and teachings that are within the language. So when that's lost, you lose a lot of that.
You do, you know? Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much, Melody. Now we'll take a short break.